This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
They got you. Dead center of our work week. Man, it's going fast for me. I know it's because I've been scrambling the last couple of days to try to catch up and answer all the work emails and also be caught up with photos on social media. The demand is real, which I appreciate, you guys. Thank you so much for caring about my vacation photos. And gosh, as I've gone through the posts on Facebook just to kind of make sure everything is appropriate or semi-appropriate, on our Facebook page, I have been blown away by how many of you have taken the time to look at my pictures and to comment, hundreds of you. So thank you very much. The fact that you care about my personal life more than you care about what I have to say about sports, sometimes that befuddles me. I make my family and friends laugh when I tell them it's been 20 years of talking about sports for a living, and yet it doesn't matter what brilliant theory or opinion or analogy or metaphor I come up with in the sports world, some great analysis. No, what you care most about is my dog or my Grammy Helen or what kind of food I ate or something stupid that I did in my front yard. I mean, judging by your reaction on social media, what I have to say about sports is kind of irrelevant at this point. Which is fine. I don't care why you're listening as long as you're listening. And I do appreciate that so many of you engage with us on social media. It's your turn to send questions for me. So I've been asking you questions, of course, and we generally do a show question. But on this edition of the show, The Hump Show, we allow you to ask Amy anything, sort of. So you've got just a half hour here to send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page, named after the show, super easy. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. My Twitter personally is A-Law Radio, but it's producer Dave who will choose the questions for Ask Amy Anything. And I told you this to start the show, but for those of you who weren't listening then, I'm going to tell you right now, I have one story left from vacation that I need to share with you. I mean, I have other things from vacation that I could drop in, but I've saved one particular story. You're going to think I'm a total weirdo, but I'm actually proud of myself. I feel like I've made a difference in the world, but it's not something I ever saw myself doing, and I couldn't stop. Once I started, I couldn't stop doing it. So this was on vacation in South Carolina at the beach. I did something I never saw myself doing, but I'm really proud, and you're going to laugh. So I will share that story with you at the bottom of the hour before we get to our update. And then, of course, I'll answer your questions a half hour from now on Ask Amy Anything. Again, on our show Twitter, on our Facebook page, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, the last 24 hours have been dominated, and I mean dominated, as in pinned, as in a takedown of epic proportions in sports media. We've had a total takedown when it comes to dominating the headlines with Tim Tebow. In fact, I felt like I was having flashbacks to 10 years ago when Tebow was trending daily, even before trending was a thing. In the early stages of Twitter, it was still all about Tebow time then. It was every day something new about, well, actually not something new, just more speculation or more talk about Tim Tebow. And as I looked over our Facebook page, and I will tell you, I've had to delete dozens of comments. Snarky, nasty. I mean, you don't have to like the guy, but there is absolutely no need to talk about him in a way that many of you do. I will never understand it. I think it's more sports hate and jealousy than it is anything else. But regardless, I've had to delete dozens of comments off our Facebook page because they're flat out rude and inappropriate. The Tebow phenomenon is still alive and well because people still have an opinion. 10 years later, he's still a lightning rod. Whether you love him or you hate him, wherever you fall on the spectrum, I mean, his name elicits a reaction. Anyway, so judging by our social media, the name Tebow still has quite the effect. It still has quite the power, but it's not quite what we think in Jacksonville. I appreciate that Urban Meyer is willing to clarify, maybe 24 hours too late, but he was a guest on the Chris Collinsworth podcast. And of course, Chris asked him about Tim Tebow potentially signing as a tight end with the Jaguars.
We have not signed Tim. There's a thought going around. You know, he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. And they come in and they said, wow, you know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
Does it matter to you that Coach Urban Meyer wasn't even in the two workouts? He wasn't even present when Tebow worked out with the other coaches for the Jaguars. Does that matter to you at all? Now, I was under the impression, based on the reports that came out on Monday, yes, my days blur together, sorry. I was under the impression that this was about Urban Meyer, and I still think that makes sense, and that this was a relatively done deal. That was essentially what we heard from the reports all over the place, and it may still happen, but according to Urban, this is not something that he started. This is not something that he actually put in motion. Now, you don't have to believe him. There's a smirk on producer Dave's face. And so I'm guessing that producer Dave does not believe what's coming out of Urban Meyer's mouth. What are you suggesting, that he's telling just a bald-faced lie?
Basically.
Nice.
I think the only reason that Tim Tebow is allowed to be there in the first place is because of his previous relationship with Urban Meyer.
Hey, you know T.O. worked out about, I don't know, 7-8 years after he retired too. I mean, sometimes there are athletes who get granted workouts with teams.
Yeah, but he constructed that for himself at like a high school football field on his own. That's different than going to the organization's, you know, camp, wherever they're holding these tryouts and workouts and camps.
No, I'm referring to when T.O. actually joined the Seahawks for training camp and they allowed him to come in.
Because after that workout, then he was brought in. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes. And if they decide to bring him in, then it would be the same thing. He would be with the team. I don't know that this is random minor leaguer who says, I used to have a career in football. I want to now play a position I've never played before.
You're saying you don't believe that this wasn't started by Urban. Now, yes, it's obviously about their connection, but according to Urban, it was Tebow that reached out to the team and asked if he could work out, and Urban told his coaches okay, but wasn't even there.
Yeah, I'm saying even if the original idea came from Tebow asking, the only reason it even happens is because Urban Meyer is the coach. He's not going to go ask the Raiders, hey, can I come in?
My point is that Meyer says it wasn't something that he that he started. It wasn't his idea. It was Tebow's. And it really just started as a workout. And the coaches gave him some stuff to work on. And he went and he did it and he came back. And now the coaches are saying, wow, you might want to look at this. So anyway, whether or not you believe Urban Meyer, yes, of course, the connection between Urban and Tebow going back to Florida, they have a very close relationship. That's well documented. They won two championships in Florida, but they're also very close as human beings. So yes, Tebow picked the Jaguars for that reason. But Urban Meyer tells Chris Collinsworth on his podcast that he wasn't even at the workouts. This was his other coaches, and that he hasn't made a decision yet. That may not be the truth, but certainly if the reports are out there, this could happen, or are accurate that are out there, this could happen sometime in the next couple of days. But I wanted you to hear from Urban Meyer specifically. Now, here's Tony Khan, who is the co-owner of the Jaguars, about this report regarding Tebow.
Obviously, Urban knows Tim really well, and Tim's got a great history of winning, and Urban really believes he can help us, and I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's a position where we need to get better.
They do have five tight ends on the roster currently, but maybe they're not thinking that one of their tight ends or two of their tight ends are good enough. I just think it's funny. I'm sorry. I just find the whole thing humorous, not because of Tebow or whatever. I mean, if he makes the team as a 33-year-old tight end who's never played the position, well, freaking more power to him. But I think the reaction is delicious and juicy, and some of you get so mad. He's like a trigger for you. The way that my cat meowing at me is a trigger for me. Sometimes I want to punt her across the room. I never have. Sometimes I do. Just that meow, that howling at me drives me insane sometimes. I'm trying to think what else is a trigger for me. Oh my gosh. People driving in the left-hand lane below the speed limit and refusing to move over. I mean, I've got some triggers, peeps. I've got some triggers. But Tebow is a trigger for many of you. Just be honest. Even the sound of his name gets your blood boiling. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. I don't really have an evil cackle, but if I did, that would be it. Let's go back to our phones here. Chris is in Birmingham, Alabama. Chris, welcome to After Hours.
Amy Lawrence, how you doing?
Yo, I'm good. Thank you.
You want to know why the whole Tebow thing honestly triggers everybody? You want to generally know why it triggers everybody?
Because are you going to tell me?
The man stinks, okay? And there's numerous other even.
No, the man does not stink. If you don't believe he can play football, fine. But he's a hell of a man.
He kind of does, because let's be honest. The man literally throws like a medieval catapult, like, without ropes attached. And attached to it, when you pull the trigger, the catapult goes flips all over. At some point, we have to honestly let the people who actually have the opportunity. This man, what does he honestly earn to earn his opportunity? His name?
Wait, okay, hold on. So you're thinking that Urban Meyer, who hasn't yet signed him, is just going to give him a roster spot for the hell of it, just because it'd be fun that way.
It's clear-cut nepotism.
No, it's not, Chris. No, it's not. Nor is it white privilege, nor is it racism or any of those other things. I will give you that Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow have a long relationship and that he likely wouldn't get the opportunity to work out with other teams. But if he gets a roster spot, it's because he earned it. If he gets a roster spot, it's because Urban Meyer believes he can help the team. I mean, he doesn't owe Tebow anything. And Tebow doesn't need to play in the NFL anymore. Urban Meyer is now in the NFL where life comes at you so fast that he could be out on his ass in a couple of years if the Jaguars don't make progress. He can't afford to be giving away roster spots, and he knows that. I mean, this is a completely different arena than college football, where you can take a walk-on and give him a scholarship and, okay, great. I mean, this is the NFL, where the Jaguars are in a really difficult position. They're trying to get their young quarterback up and ready as quickly as possible, but if they don't see progress pretty quickly, he would then be declared a complete and total bust like many other college coaches. So it's not the same arena. I disagree with you. He may have gotten the workout because of his name, because Urban Meyer knows his name. But if he makes the roster and survives to the actual regular season, it's because he earned it.
But, I mean, here's the thing, though. like, what is this man honestly going to produce as, like, a third-team tight end?
Like, I mean, every team has 13 tight ends, right? Every team has 3-4 tight ends, right? So every team needs them.
Or less. But here's the thing. Like, no one pays attention to the guy who has to share a locker in the roster. Come on. I mean, let's be real here.
Nah, this is not the same Tebow. This is not the same Tebow situation as it was when he was traded to the Jets and he was a backup quarterback and there was a press conference held for him. It's not the same thing. He's not coming off of a playoff game in which he threw a touchdown in overtime and the Broncos defeated the Steelers. We're not talking about the height of his popularity. He's still a lightning rod, sure. But if you sign Tebow to your roster, there's no expectation that he's going to take over a locker room. In fact, what Urban Meyer would want him to do more than likely is be someone who could kind of coach up and mentor Trevor Lawrence, because Tebow, if there's anyone who knows, you know, what Trevor Lawrence faced in college, the pressure and all that jazz, it's Tim Tebow. They very similar paths in terms of college. So I disagree with you. I don't think it's quite the same phenomenon. He's 33 years old now. You know, it's a different situation than it was 10 years ago.
My thing is, it sticks to me really, like, as well as that, you just case the point of, like, you look at, obviously, Tom Kaepernick is going to be drawn into this. Now, you're not going to listen, but it's like, how can this guy who's been out longer, who has more tread, actually get more, and Tom Kaepernick, in some cases, can't even get a call. And the bias is here is, the thing is with NFL, like, my thing with the NFL is, like, they'll appeal to what they feel is their bottom dog. They can care less about social justice or whatever the hell they owners they say. They only care about that moolah. NFL owners really care about moolah.
All right. Well, I can't say that's any different than most owners in the NBA, in the NHL, in Major League Baseball. They all care about moolah. And, I mean, if that's your opinion, that's your opinion. I know that I don't have the answer for you about either Tebow or Kaepernick because I'm not an NFL owner. And so you would have to take that up with them about why Kaepernick can't get a phone call. You know, he has gotten some phone calls, and there was an opportunity the NFL set up a workout. And Kaepernick's... Again, completely different than Tim Tebow. And so the two situations are, I don't know how comparable they are, but I appreciate your opinion, Chris. Thank you so much for your phone call. Yeah, I mean, it's a lightning rod. He is a lightning rod. That's how it goes. Some people just freaking can't stand him. And I really don't understand that. I get that that there's going to be a lot of reaction to it, but it blows me away. Even 10 years later.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in 3 overtime games this year. They won them all.
Got him
at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him free to the 30, to the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on to New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not even going to pee myself this time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed that story, I'm never telling it again. Ever. We are now, we'll say 15 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. So make sure you send your questions to our show Twitter. Last second, you procrastinators, you. It takes one to know one. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. Let's work in a couple more calls, then I have to tell you my weird story that I'm so proud of from vacation. Rick is listening in Boise, Idaho. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Good. First time listening to you, so.
Oh, cool.
Welcome aboard. Last time I talked to somebody this early in the morning was when I was in college. I talked to Larry King. We talked about
Did
Billy
you?
Martin.
Oh,
so that
interesting.
Tells you how old I am. So anyway, first of all, I enjoyed your analysis of the NBA that you did about a half hour or so ago. Okay. I thought that was very well done.
Thank you.
I used to be a sports reporter, so I kind of appreciate that stuff. Mm. I think that last caller did not even know who Tim Tebow was, to be honest with you. I think he was just kind of reacting to what he's read and everything. First of all, I mean, if he understands the makeup of the NFL, it was a total legit workout, you know, nothing against that. I mean, he might even get invited to mini camp and, you know, get the minimum wage and, you know, whatever. And, you know, to me, the tight end position, especially for an ex-quarterback, is really, if you're physically qualified to do it, is not that difficult of a position.
Hmm.
I mean, if you got good hands, like I said, being an ex-quarterback, he understands, you know,
well,
the position.
Tight ends are also required to block, and sometimes there can be complicated schemes, you know. So it would be about learning not only position, but learning terminology and all of that jazz. So there's more to it. Now, do I think Tebow is physically gifted? Absolutely. Do I think, as Meyer said, he's a maniac when it comes to workouts, when it comes to putting himself in shape and also to mastering whatever skill is given to him? We certainly have seen him do everything pretty much that he sets his mind to, at least at some capacity. So I don't know that I agree with you about it being relatively easy, because it just depends on what the system is. But I do think that as a quarterback, you are required to know what everybody else on the offense is doing. So there would be a bit of an advantage there for sure.
So, I mean, I don't know how good his hands are. You know, I think he would be more a receiving type of tight end. You know, so like you said, you know, every team has, you know, three tight ends, four tight ends, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're put in, you know, he may be put in at the 5-yard line and, you know, and run a route and catch the ball and win the game. Who knows? But so anyway, I guess that's all I have to say. I mean, I just, you know, I think it's a legit type of issue.
Agree with you. I think it's a long shot that he makes the roster. There are lots of different guys that get invited to camps. Teams will take flyers on various athletes, even if they don't have a name like Tebow. As I mentioned, Terrell Owens, when he was, what was he? I don't remember how old he was at the time. Over 40, if I am not mistaken. And he ended up, you know, with the Seattle Seahawks and kind of going through training camp and was so, you know, was, I wouldn't say he was close. I think he made it to the second round of cuts. And so that happens. It's something that teams will do, but they already have five tight ends on their roster. So I'm not sure that he makes the team. He's a long shot to be sure, but I do not agree that Urban Meyer would give him a spot just for the hell of it. I mean, I don't think that's something that Meyer can afford to do in the NFL. And I'm sure he knows it.
No, this isn't high school football, for sure.
Right, or even college. Even college
or even
football.
College, yeah.
It's a completely different arena. All right, Rick, thanks so much. You call anytime. Glad you found the show.
All right, Amy. Bye.
Let's talk to Mark, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, Amy? How you doing?
Yo, I'm good. Thank
you. Watch that Knick game tonight?
I have to, but yes, I did. In fact, I did an interview. Well, I did an interview with a guy who covers the Knicks in the first hour, so you better go back and listen to it.
Oh my gosh, I don't have to. I was in Walmart with my girlfriend, and I was watching the game on my phone, and like we were walking, and like she was asking me questions. I was like, babe, hold on, I gotta watch the game of Washington. Like, we were up by 10, and I was like 85, 75. I'm like, let's go, like, you know. But the thing here that kind of bothers me, and I was kind of telling the producer about it, it's like, they play good for two quarters. Like, you could bet the Knicks against, like, Boston, or not Boston, Brooklyn, or against the Suns, or against you. They were up 15 points twice the first time they played the Suns, and they lost. They were up by 9 on Utah. It's like, it's good in the first half, and then the second half, it just kind of, like, just implodes. I mean, I tweeted something on Twitter, and crazy. I said, the Knicks have 8 points in 10 minutes. The Knicks are back, baby. Uh-huh. And everyone went crazy because 8 points in 10 minutes.
like this, all of a sudden, this hot shooting team just goes ice cold.
Right. And well, I've seen it too. Yeah. I mean, that's true. But also, the Lakers did buckle down on defense too. They had a couple of huge possessions. I would say, Mark, I think there's something to the idea that these young Knicks are still learning how to play under pressure. Julius Randle, I know he's been in the league for a few years, but this is now his team, and he is the one who's expected to step up and take the shots and have the ball in his hands in those late moments. Derrick Rose has had some of these big moments, but he's always been a streaky guy. And so they're still learning. Taj Gibson has the most playoff experience of any guy on this roster. And so they're a team that collectively has not been in a lot of these pressure pack situations. And sometimes it just takes a little time to get comfortable in them.
I didn't even know Frank Nicoletta was on the team anymore. I thought they jettisoned him for like a Twinkie bar or something. I had no idea he was on the team. I know he played 25 minutes today. It's crazy. You have to sign Rose next year. You have to. Like, I understand.
Next year. Well, how are you jumping ahead to next year, man? They're about to get in the playoffs.
He's a free agent.
All right.
So it's like, you know, I want Zach LaVine. I don't think the Knicks are going to get him. Alonzo Ball would be nice. I think his assist numbers would be through the roof with the Knicks.
They haven't even gotten to the playoffs yet. Can you breathe just a little bit?
I'm thinking one step ahead of everybody. Like, I mean, listen, playoffs is nice. I have one question though.
Playoffs.
If the Knicks were to win today, does that mean that they were automatically the four seed? No, they clinch a playoff spot. They can still go down the standings, right?
I'd have to look at it. I mean, there's only so many games left, but they are, their record is the exact same as the Hawks and the Heat. And so the issue by losing that game, not only do they not clinch a playoff spot, but now the Hawks, the Heat, and the Knicks have identical records. So yeah, there could be some movement, but by clinching a playoff spot, they would have at least kept themselves out of that 7-10 tournament.
Yeah. Cause the Hawks get the four cause they are top of the division, and then I think Miami has been the Knicks three straight, which is nice, but I actually wanted to play Milwaukee. I want the challenge. I mean, I understand that if the Knicks were to go up against the Hawks, it's a winnable series. It really is, but everyone's going to count out the Knicks against the Bucks because they got the three big in Middleton, and they got Giannis and Drew Holiday, so it's nice. Quickly and Burke.
No more. You can have 10 seconds, man. Go. That's it. Well, I'm way past my break here, so you got 10 seconds to wrap up.
All right, Amy, I'll let you go, but this has been fun. I'm going to go listen to the interview right now that you did. So.
All right, cool. First hour, Brian Mahoney, Associated Press. Knicks and Nets, too, actually.
Okay, for sure. Take care, Amy.
Bye, Mark. I mean, sometimes you just got to be abrasive or just cut in. I do enjoy Mark's calls. But now I'm not going to get to my story because we're late. So here's the deal, Producer Dave. Whatever questions you've got for Ask Amy Anything, the first question needs to be, what weird thing did you do on vacation that you're so proud of? Okay?
It's a deal.
Amy is going to ask Amy anything. Actually, Amy is going to make Dave ask Amy something.
I know that you know that.
Yes,
I know that's the question.
Exactly. Thank you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
I try to thank you for your questions ahead of time because I have faith in you. Thank you for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Missed it last week, and so this is my first hump show of the month of May. Incidentally, May 11th is what Tuesday night is, depending on if you're in Hawaii, Alaska, maybe the West Coast is still your Wednesday night. I mean Tuesday night, sorry. May 11th, actually, though, 14 months exactly since the NBA had it shut down, going back to what, March 11th of 2020. I don't know that I'll ever look at the 11th on the calendar the same, at least not for the next couple of years. It signifies something. Maybe post-pandemic, I'll forget what the 11th represents. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and producer Dave here on CBS Sports Radio, who has one question that he knows he has to start with.
That's right. What weird thing did you do on vacation that you're so proud of?
Okay, so a couple of mornings, I was out walking on the beach, and the way this particular beach is set up, I was staying in the kind of the middle, and so I could walk 2 miles to the north end, 2 miles to the south end, but the north end, there's a ton of sandbars, and at low tide, you can walk out into these, onto these sandbars that, I mean, they might stretch 500 yards out into the ocean, so actually, at one point, I did a full 360 video, and it looks as though I'm walking on water, because this, you know, there's maybe an inch of water covering the sandbars. Anyway, so because it's low tide, as I'm walking along the beach, I have to be careful where I step. There are all manner of animals on the beach. They've washed up on the sand. Everything from jellyfish to shrimp. I mean, so many shrimp to crab. There were also all kinds of different, you know, like those rubbery things. What are those? Whatever. I don't even know. Different sea animals and sea anemones, the occasional fish. And so there's all kinds of stuff that's washed up on the beach. And in addition to all of those other things, there were oysters. Now, oyster shells are really pretty, at least in this part of the country, in South Carolina. They're beautiful. They're pink and they're orange and they're such a gorgeous shape. I do collect shells from every trip to the beach if they're unique and different colors. And I desperately wanted an oyster shell. But what I realized as I would pick up an oyster shell, they were still alive. They had washed up on the beach, but they were very much still alive. Now, what they're trying to do then is burrow into the sand and find the water that's under the sand so they can continue breathing, right? So they can stay alive. But my kind heart, my animal-loving heart, I couldn't stand it. Do you know what I did? I picked up an oyster. It was still alive. I felt bad for the poor guy because he'd washed up on the sand, so I threw him back in the water. And then, 2 mornings in a row, for nearly 90 minutes, every single oyster I came upon, I dug it out of the sand, and if it was still alive, I threw it back in the water. I mean, I'm not kidding. I am not exaggerating when I tell you that I put at least 50 oysters back in the water. I got obsessed with it. I don't know what was going on with me, but I felt bad, especially the one morning when the wind was blowing really hard, and they were stuck up on the sand, and they couldn't get back in the water. I picked them up. In some cases, I threw them. In other cases, I gently placed them in the water. And when I was out on the sandbars, then I could see them because the water was really shallow. They would flip back over, and then they would burrow back into the sand. Yeah. So you go to the beach or to the ocean communities, and you eat oysters. I walked the beach and put them all back in the water. I hope they were grateful. I couldn't help it. I felt bad. They were dying. Anyway, I've never done that in my life before. I don't know that I'll ever do it again, but I became obsessed with returning oysters to the ocean.
It's yeah. Listen, that's I'm sure they're grateful, and it was a good deed, so It's a job well done.
I know, but don't you think it's weird?
Not weird. It's not something, you know, you don't hear that every day.
No.
Put it that way.
I couldn't stop. Once I started, I couldn't stop. I felt bad for all of the little oysters and their families, and I had to put them back in the water.
Well, if you can save one, you might as well save them all, right?
Yes, thank you, Dave. Okay, I feel better now that I've told you how weird I am. Sometimes I'd get started doing something and I can't stop.
Like you said, something you're proud of.
Yeah, very proud of, actually. I saved, it was like one of those campaigns to, you know, save the whales, save the elephants, save the eagles, while I was saving the oysters.
Save the oysters.
Save the oysters.
There's no possible way to transition to this.
No,
so I'm just
ask Amy
ask
anything.
It.
There we go.
Here, let's go. BK wants to know, which Olympics do you prefer,
summer
or winter?
Summer. I mean, there are many events in the Winter Olympics that I love, like figure skating. I certainly enjoy curling now that we've kind of been introduced to it as an American sport. Ha ha. There are many Olympic sports in the winter that I love, but my absolute favorite is the Summer Olympics because of the swimming and the track and field. Those are my two favorite events to watch.
I agree completely. Not that anybody cares.
Brian
apparently thinks that you shout the boom at the end of the show every day.
Don't
I? He's not. Oops. And there is a Santa Claus. Brian wants to know, how did that originate? How did that come to be where the boom ended up at the end of every single show?
The Indiana Pacers color analyst on their radio network, Mark Boyle, I believe is his name, he shouts, "Boom, baby!" when a Pacer hits a big three. I don't know if he's doing it this year. I actually haven't listened to a Pacers game on the radio. I do generally pop around on basketball nights, and I listen to a lot of different games, but I haven't heard him this year. Anyway, I just started saying, "Boom, baby!" on big moments here. This is going back probably 7 years when I was hosting the show on the weekends, and one of the producers that I worked with previously, prior to producer Dave, decided that when I shouted boom, that he would bring that back. And one day, as I was tagging out of the show, meaning wrapping up at the end of the 4 hours, he dropped the boom at the end. And so it's not me live. For those of you who wonder, it is a drop. In fact, producer Dave, if you would like to drop it, I mean, if you're not ready for it, it's totally fine. But I can be talking like I'm talking right now, talking to you. And you could also hear the boom taking place at the same time.
Boom!
See what I mean? Because it is it's a recording. It's a drop is what we call it. And so we could just go back and forth. Live Amy, recorded
boom!
Amy. Live Amy,
boom!
Recorded Amy. Exactly. After a while, it would annoy you. But I do appreciate that so many of you get upset when we do not have the boom. I can't even do it as well as recorded Amy at the end of the show.
Well, sometimes there's, as much as we enjoy the boom, sometimes there's Shaq talking about his little guys and stuff that just sometimes I feel it's necessary to end the show with.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I can't transition to this either. So Chuck wants to know, when you were little and you started playing sports for the first time, who was an athlete that you either modeled your game after in different sports or looked up to when you were watching them play?
Well, I have five athletes that I consider my favorite from when I was younger. In terms of how I played the game, though, I was a power forward, and I loved Kevin McHale's game. The Boston Celtics, the Hall of Fame forward. I mean, he's a back-to-the-basket player, the up-and-under. Oh, he was so good. So the Celtics of the late 80s, Larry Bird's my all-time favorite, but Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Dennis Johnson, even Danny Ainge, who was a part of those rosters for a while. Steffi Graf is probably my all-time female athlete, though I also love to watch Tennessee basketball. Shamiqua Holdsclaw was a great star for Tennessee when she played for Pat Summitt. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, well, I was a huge fan of Dale Earnhardt, the original, the Intimidator. And John Elway was one of my favorite football players at the time. But I also loved to watch Jerry Rice. I mean, I could go on and on about the NFL. And so, yeah, those were some of my original favorite athletes. But in terms of females that I, you know, watched, I watched a lot of college basketball at the time, so power forwards, they were my favorites. And then Kevin McHale. I wanted to be Kevin McHale on the basketball court.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to emulate the Ken Griffey Jr. swing. It just didn't work out. It didn't work out for me.
Many a young man.
Oh, that was just a sweet baseball swing. So we're going to go back in time again. So Maureen wants to know, if you could go back in time and attend any concert from any artist, group, band, whatever, who would it be?
If I could go back in time, so it can't be an artist that's still performing now?
Anybody, whether it's someone that was way ahead of our time, or
well,
just anybody ever.
I've always heard these incredible stories coming out of the Garth Brooks concerts when he was in his heyday, like, you know, when he was the number one artist in the country. So I think that would be pretty amazing to go back. I mean, I don't know if he still or he will ever do other concerts. He's still great, but the concerts, they used to be these raucous parties. Honestly, I think it would be kind of, I'm not a Beatles fan. I had college roommates that's all they listened to. It drove me crazy. I would find that experience interesting, though, to go to a Beatles concert when they were all the rage, when they were the number one act on the planet. And then, in addition to that, I think it would be super cool to see U2 in Dublin. And I say that because the year that I was in Ireland, the city was buzzing because U2 was in town to perform a couple of concerts. Now, I didn't see them. I was there on an educational trip. But I just remember the buzz and the electricity, the fact that U2 was there in Ireland to play, and the city was like literally on fire. So I think U2 would be super cool as well. Boys to Men, that'd be another concert I'd like to see.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So let's go back in time one more time. Rich wants to know, what was your favorite cartoon show growing up as a kid?
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Also, I'm trying to think what else my brother and I watch. We love Scooby-Doo. I guess when we were really little, there was some Tom and Jerry, some Roadrunner in there as well. But Scooby-Doo is always my favorite.
For sure. I got my 2-year-old onto Tom and Jerry, by the way. He loves that show. Lisa wants to know, it's very specific, but if you go to a county fair, what is your...
Fried dough.
It's too easy. You cheated, didn't you?
Well, I'm trying to I feel like we're like meandering through this. Well, do you not have enough questions?
No, I have another one to finish off here, but okay. you looked at that one ahead of time.
Well, people always want to know about food at the fair.
That's true. Alexa wants to know, are there any plans? She knows it's a weird year, but are there any plans to go back to Cuba at any point this year or next?
Oh, gosh. It's crazy that you asked me that on the day after I had this dream about visiting Cuba and how terrible it was and how I couldn't get to my Cuban family, my friends. Man, it woke me up, and I felt awful. I had a pit in my stomach. No, unfortunately. And I know we're up against the top of the hour here, but the Cuban borders are still closed. The government is not allowing anyone in. And because of that, I've heard from my friends in Cuba, they have a massive food shortage. Now, it's not the only third world country in the world that's going through a food shortage. But the Cubans right now, they don't have the testing, they don't have the vaccines, and they don't have enough food, and their borders are closed. So no, I won't be getting back this year.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.